One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Internet Marketing. And welcome to episode 48 of Internet Marketing, where we bring you the word from the experts on how to use the internet as part of your marketing machine. Internet Marketing is brought to you, as always, by AIDigital.com. And in today's show, we talk to Kevin Newman and Helen Trendell about some recommended books for internet marketing. And I speak to Ian Oswald of Procasts and Show Me Do about the how and why of screencasting. Enjoy. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of Internet Marketing, episode 48. I am with Kevin Newman and Helen Trendell. Now, on today's show, we're talking about books, of all things. I mean, we're very used to looking at screens with writing on, and books are a new invention that uses a substance called paper, which is made from wood, that you can look at without any power at all. And Kelvin and Helen have got some book recommendations on internet marketing, which we would like to talk about today, because I think some people do like reading, don't they, Kelvin?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely something to be said for reading on a you know, bit of paper as opposed to a screen. You can definitely read for longer and it's a bit more involved. I mean, a lot of this sort of spun out that this year I made a bit of a New Year's resolution challenge to myself that I was going to try and read a bit more because, you know, we spend all day researching blogs, reading Twitter, listening to podcasts and that kind of thing. And it's all very great for getting information about internet marketing, but there's a lot of great books out there which can really sort of talk about topics in a lot more depth than you would ever get from, you know, kind of a half-hour podcast or a sort of 10, 15-minute read of a blog, really. So my hope was to try and read a few of those that are out there and, you know, learn a bit more about, you know, the way of doing marketing online, really. Yes, there was two main books, really, that I've kind of I'd like to highlight from the ones that I've been reading that I thought were quite helpful. In some ways, they're quite different. The first one is a little bit self-helpy, to be honest with you. It's The 4-Hour Workweek by a chap called Tim Ferriss.
I've heard about this. Yeah. I've heard about this guy. He's amazing, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he is about as American as it is possible to be in that kind of, you know, very positive attitude. But his book is basically a number of ways in which you can cut down the amount of hours that you're working in a week to just 4 hours, which to a lot of us sounds very far out, and yes, it is a little bit far-fetched. But what he does is quite clever. He looks at it from a number of different ways, and his basic premise is this: that you could spend all your life working to get to your retirement when you're 60, 65 or whatever, but by that point, you know, if you've been working really hard and you're really interested in things, are you going to have the energy and the desire to do it? So he talks a lot more about having freedom now to work now. So I think that chimes quite a lot with, you know, kind of internet marketing people generally, in terms of they want to get that work-life balance right. So he talks about in a number of ways that, you know, some of it's about outsourcing and using virtual assistants, which can be quite handy if you've got, you know, lots of tasks that you're doing that, you know, might be repetitive, or they, you know, might be something that it doesn't necessarily make sense to get someone in the UK and spend a fortune getting them to do that, which is quite interesting. But also he talks a lot about kind of email management and what the great time suck that the email is. So he's got this whole thing that he kind of only checks his email, you know, very and rarely. And he goes through a process of how he can do that. So kind of going down to checking a couple of times a day and having a sort of really good autoresponder that says, look, your email is important to me, but if you need me to respond in the immediately phone me. If not, I'm only check my emails a couple of times a day. And he talks a lot of the kind of get things done style of, like, when you get an email, do something with it. Don't just leave it there. And don't let it interrupt you. Because if you're, you know, if you're kind of doing internet marketing, it's quite a creative process. And that kind of 2 second interruption when an email pops up in the corner of your screen can throw you off your flow for a good 2 or 3 minutes. And when you've got something that could be done in half an hour if you were focusing on it, it can quite often end up taking 2 or 3 hours if you don't.
Now, I seem to remember that Tim Ferriss, if I'm not mistaken, most of his businesses, they're online, aren't they? They're internet businesses. So this is very relevant to the internet marketer, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, one of the main businesses he talks about in the book, you know, he's worked on a number of businesses and he talks about, you know, his kind of failures and successes in the past. But it's a kind of vitamin supplement business, essentially, for bodybuilders and various kind of things like that. He talks a lot about ways of managing that online as well, so you can be efficient. So he talks a lot about A/B testing, you know, which is something that I know we've covered quite a lot in the past. But kind of the actual title of the book was decided by doing pay-per-click advertising. So he was like, well, for my book to do well on the, you know, the bookshelves of W.H. Smith, I need it to have a great title. And, you know, he used 5 or 6 different ideas he had, put them in pay-per-click adverts, saw which one did the best, named his book after it. And, you know, that, I think, to a certain extent had a huge part to play in its success. I know when I saw the title, it kind of certainly sparks a bit of interest there.
I know I haven't read the whole book, but I've seen snippets of his book. And if there's anyone on this planet that can sort of pare down what you need to do to get results down to the absolute minimum that will work effectively, it's got to be this guy, hasn't it? Tim Ferriss.
Yeah, he's just spot on at that, really, which I think does really well. And I mean, he's even got a blog out there now, which he updates really, you know, not that regularly, but he does in-depth, you know, posts. And he's quite good as well in terms of, he'll put how many words it is, he'll put how long it takes to read, he'll point out, if you ask him reading this, here's the 2 bits you need to look at, the rest of it is, you know, add value, but if you've only got 5 minutes, here's the bits to read. Which I think is just kind of a good way of realising, really, for people working on the internet, your resource that you have is your time. And there's only a certain amount of that you've got in the week anyway. There's only a certain amount you'd like to spend of that in a week. And then if you could spend less of that but get more done, that's perfect, really. So, I mean, a great book. It is a little bit of that kind of, if you do this, it will change your life, and you have to take it with a bit of a pinch of salt. You know, I don't think I'd be able to pull off all the things he's trying to say, but it's quite inspirational, and it gets you to think about things in a slightly different way to how you might have done in the past. Another one that I'd like to sort of point out is by two brothers called Chip and Dan Heath, and their book's called Made to Stick. It's not specifically about internet marketing. It's kind of a little bit PR-y, but it's about how you can create ideas which will spread, which is a lot of the kind of, it ties in with internet marketing and PR anyway, in terms of, why do some stories, like the one they've got on the back of the cover is, why does everyone know this story about waking up in the middle of the night in a bath of ice that your kidneys have been stolen, but they don't know how much iron you should have in your diet? You know, the kidney story, apparently there's no truth in that at all, or very little to substantiate that, but it's a urban myth that lots of people know and understand. But then something that's of vital importance, you know, how much iron you ought to be having in your diet, no one knows. And they've got a kind of good acronym they use to explain this. And, you know, what's a good marketing book without a good acronym? You know, so theirs is SUCCESS with a YNS at the end, where they break down how you can make an idea do well. So the first one of those is making it simple, which, you know, kind of stands to reason. And they give some good examples of, you know, what is a simple story, what isn't a simple story, how you can take your story and make it more simplistic. The U is unexpected, and at which point I'm now going to have to pull out the book and forget what the other ones are in case I get them in the wrong order
as he pages through the book.
So the next one is that, yeah, so you've got simple, unexpected. So a story where you kind of find out something that you already know isn't that interesting, you know. So it's kind of, what makes your story different to something that they would, you know, just completely understand already? You've then got concrete, you know, tying things down in a particular way. If it's not tangible, if it's, you know, huge numbers, it's kind of that, if I can say to you, okay, every time you go on a holiday, it kills, you know, 25 whales, that's much better than it releases however many grams of carbon and all that kind of thing, and tying it down on that one. The next one I've got is credible. So whether that's real life proof or kind of scientific academics or experts. And the one that they talk about there, which is really, really good, is that it's Jared, the bloke who did the Subway diet. And this was just not created at all by any kind of marketing or PR stunt, but it was basically this fat bloke in America who started eating Subways every day for lunch and lost a load of weight. Admittedly, he was doing loads of other stuff and he wasn't eating most of the Subways, which are, you know, pretty, well, not poisonous, but, you know, pretty bad for you in some ways. But then he was kind of, because it was someone they could associate with, because they could see the pictures, that gave the story credibility. And the E they've got on their success is emotional, which, you know, there's got to be an emotional hook in that story or angle. And then finally, shaping it as a story as well. You know, the whole human culture is built around sharing stories and ideas in that kind of way. So a concept or a fact doesn't work as well as a story. And in each of those sections, they go through, tell you how, if you're trying to create a message, how you can kind of build these into your way of doing things, but also taking examples of stories that have spread well and why they have done. So it's a really good book from that point of view. And, you know, one that I'd pretty much recommend to anyone, really, especially if they're trying to promote businesses online.
So it's basically the idea of spreading memes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, good old Richard Dawkins memes there. I call it memes. I don't know why, whether there's a right way of saying it or not. You say memes, I say memes. I don't know what the right way is. But yeah, it's that kind of understanding what you can create that has a good propensity to spread virally. And the way that, you know, the web is going, it's all about sharing, whether that's Twitter, whether it's Facebook, whether it's, you know, links to a story that makes you do well on SEO, or whether it's kind of viral video, whatever it is, the content that's doing well out there and the businesses that are promoting themselves effectively are touching into a kind of human condition that's there. And, you know, that's a pretty good way of trying to understand how you can do that for your company. So very recommended from me.
There's a song in there somewhere, and there's that, I say memes or memes, you say memes. We could sort of add fruits, like perhaps tomato or tomato. Anyway, moving on to Helen. Helen, you've got a couple of favourites as well, haven't you?
I have indeed, and it's really funny that we were just talking about that, because the book that I would like to recommend is a book called After Image by a guy called John Grant. And basically, he's a branding consultant, and he's sort of worked on some major campaigns. I think he was the guy behind Chuck Out Your Chintz for IKEA, and has also worked on a lot of stuff for Sony and more recently Ministry of Sound. And it's very much about sort of integrating the sort of creative process behind your marketing, whether that be internet marketing or offline marketing, and really working out how you can actually deliver creative ideas time and time again. Where do you start from when you've just got that blank piece of paper and you think, right, okay, I've got some time and I've got to now deliver some sales or deliver some goal conversions. Where do you start? And he's got a great little model that I've used time and time again, and I'd really like to share that with everyone here.
Please do, because I'd like to learn it as well, because being creative is one of the most difficult things you can do.
Unfortunately, it's not in an acronym. Which, you know, yeah, I've thought about maybe rewriting it so that it could spell something, but because I always seem to remember six things, but I know that there's seven, so I have got them prepared here. And funny enough, right at the top is memetic media. So basically, what he's sort of talking about is you sort of have your business objective, and then you have seven different types of media, and that will cross online and offline. And yeah, the first one that I've got is memetic media. So that's really, really interesting that all these sort of books are coming together.
Hang on, is that magnetic or mametic?
Or memetic.
What does it mean?
It's memes.
Meme-like. I suppose meme-like is what he's trying to get there. So I think it's like one of those made-up words, isn't it?
So memetic, as in it's, yeah, meme-like. So really about viral ideas and spreading media that can be shared and spread. So that's like the first kind of point of call. The second one is knowledge media. So that's more about what, as a brand, can you share? What piece of knowledge do you have that your competitors maybe don't have? What can you demonstrate yourself as an authority on a subject as? So that might turn out to be an idea around a white paper or an article or a blog or something like that. The third one is reputation. So this is very much coming back to sort of traditional PR. And I think now, giving it a kind of modern twist, I also look at this in terms of search visibility. If you're looking for a certain type of product, that your reputation is equal to your positioning within search engines. Particularly if you're looking for a branded term, your reputation is on the line if you're not coming up in those search results. The fourth one we've got is, funny enough, story media. So again, back to the books that Kelvin was talking about. And again, so the idea is that online PR story that captivates people's interest and helps your message to spread. The fifth type of media is dialogue media. So this is really thinking about how can your brand engage with not only your customers, but other groups and other publics that are out there. How can you add value to the conversations that are already going on? So again, I think this book was written a few years ago now, but it still rings very true. And I could kind of apply that sort of thinking maybe to Twitter and things like that now. Mm. And that leads nicely on to the sixth one, which is community media. So again, this is how can you get into your community and again, engage with them? Could you create a platform on your own site? Could it be that you create an event to bring all these people together? How can you get them sort of talking to each other? And finally, the seventh type of media that he discusses is reality media. So how can you make your brand values and what your organisation is all about? How can you demonstrate that and give it life? If it's on the web, it's a bit, you know, you've got maybe a photo or something like that. How can you actually demonstrate the product maybe working? Could you create a video? Could you add user testimonials, customer reviews? Could you maybe add sort of schematic plans for how it works out over a longer period of time and what else you can maybe add to it and mix in with the product or service to actually see the results that you would get from it? For example, for a hotel, you know, having pictures of the actual hotel itself and the actual rooms are really going to help to sell that, as opposed to just having the outside of the hotel. So that's that book from John Grant, which, as I said, I've been using for a long time now, and I've just found it really helpful to spark those creative ideas.
And what's it called again, Helen? Sorry, the title of the book?
The title is After Image, and it was a follow-up, I think, to the first one, which was The New Marketing Manifesto.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit YahooFinance.com, the number one financial destination, YahooFinance.com.
So,
right.
So that's also a nice tie-in to the other book that I'd like to recommend, which is a book called, with an interesting title, called Meatball Sunday by marketing lord, cyber god, Seth Godin. I've read a lot of Seth's books, and there's always something in there to take away and use. This particular book, Meatball Sunday, is kind of discussing the ideas behind sort of traditional marketing being the meatballs and the new kind of online marketing and social media and search, online PR, affiliate marketing, viral marketing, all being the new sort of ice cream sundaes with cherries and the real nice stuff. And there's lots of executives in the boardroom sort of saying, right, we want some of this this ice cream sundae stuff, and not really fully sort of appreciating that you can't just add the traditional kind of meatballs together with it, jam it together, and the results are not a very nice combination. So it's very entertaining. It's a very light read. My favourite things about Seth's book are the way that they're kind of presented. So they're written in sort of lots and lots of sort of articles, and then they're put into chapters, and then each of those chapters has a summary. So if you want to just dip in and just get something from it, you can quickly just dip in and out of the book. Similarly, if you want to sit down and read all the way through it, you can probably do that in a couple of hours. From just literally dipping into the book over the last few days, the main sort of things that I've taken from it are two kind of key points. And one is you fundamentally have to relook at your business rather than just adding on sort of this newfangled marketing stuff on top. It's all about looking inside the business first. How can you structure it so that it is going to be appealing to do all these sort of great sort of content development pieces? People need to be interested in the actual business, so it needs to be very honest. And more than anything, the fundamental thing is it needs to be useful. So your business and what you're offering needs to add value to your customers, and that is the number one most important thing.
Kelvin, I can see you're itching to say something.
Well, I think it comes down to a lot of things that, you know, it's in a few of the books here, and I know something Andy talks about a lot generally as well. It's you know, to really be successful in social media and online, you've got to walk the walk before you talk the talk, really. So it's like, you can't expect people to recommend your product online if your product isn't worthy of recommendation. And I think that's kind of one of the things Seth Godin gets at in that book, is it's like, it doesn't matter how, you know, nice your cream on top is, if what you're selling isn't up to scratch, no one's going to recommend it. So you've really got to understand where you're coming from. And I think that's where marketers have really got to, I mean, and I think they do this generally, they've got to go, okay, well, we've got to promote this business, but if you in operations and delivery or manufacture aren't providing what our customers want, there's no way that we can push that to people. And I think that's where the internet's coming in, is there's none of that kind of, you can trick people anymore. People will know if your product is rubbish. You know, they will read a review, or someone else will put on their blog that they think it's rubbish. They'll tweet that they've had terrible customer service. So it's about just being good at what your company does, really, and then it will start to market itself. But then there's lots of things you can do to push that and get more from it, really.
Which brings us very nicely back onto the second fundamental point from this book, which is make it shareable. So it's exactly that. It's the virtuous circle completing itself. So you've got a great product, people will talk about it, but then you've also got us internet marketers in between that can just help to help the traction along, if you like.
So there you go, four book recommendations there. I'm trying to remember who it was that said, it might have been Zig Ziglar, but I don't quote me on it, but apparently if you read on your chosen subject for 15 minutes a day, you can be an expert in a year, whatever expert means. But the power of reading, leaders are readers. All these sayings coming back to me now, talking about the power of books.
Yeah, and following on a little bit from, you know, this one here. Last month we were talking about Twitter and the hashtag IMPC, and we've had a good response to that with people using that Twitter tag, and I've been friending a few people that have been leaving comments. And before we started, me and Helen were saying that for the SiteViz blog, we'd like to put together a post of all the sort of, you know, books that we recommend internally, and, you know, some of the ones we've heard friends talk about. And we'd love it if the listeners could, you know, drop us either a message via the usual sort of email address, or on Twitter using the hashtag IMPC, and let us know what your favorite books are, because we're going to try and put together like top 25, top 50 must read internet marketing book. So if anyone's got any advice on that, do let us know. And also, just as a bit of a follow-up from last month as well, a few people have asked about the Twitter tweet sheet white paper that I'm putting together.
The white paper, yeah.
Yeah, it's just the final stages coming together now, and I've had some good feedback on that. So it's just me being a little bit slow finishing off there. Perfectionist trying to get it all looking nice and tidy, but that's on its way shortly as well.
Thank you very much indeed, Kelvin Newman and Helen Trendle, talking about their chosen internet marketing books. Right, now on to the second part of the programme, where I interview a chap by the name of Ian Oswald. Now, Ian runs a website called Show Me Do, where people can upload videos explaining how to do stuff online and on the computer. I spoke to Ian about the power of being able to explain to people how to do things. Enjoy. So here we are on a rather windy day outside in Pavilion Gardens in Brighton, and I'm sitting with Ian Oswald.
Hello there, Andy.
Hello there. Now, Ian, let's just do a little bit of transparency at the front. Ian does own a business called Show Me Do, is that correct, Ian?
I own it, yes, co-founder of the business Show Me Do, and I run a screencasting company called Procasts.
Okay, and Procasts do screencasts for people, screencasts being a what, Ian?
Screencast is a video showing software in action, so it can show a web app or desktop software running in a video. If you go to the Apple site and you see their videos, those are screencasts.
Brilliant. Okay, so what we want to talk about today in this brief interview is the reason why doing a screencast to promote your business or your product is a good idea.
Thanks, Andy. So, yes, I run a screencasting company, and I've got a big thing about education. I love teaching people how products and how skills work. And so what I want to do in this interview is explain to you why you should be using screencasts in your website. Now, a screencast is a demo of software. You have, a 2 or 3 minute video showing the software in action. This means that your first time web visitor who's never seen your product before, rather than forcing them to wade through screens of pictures and text, trying to figure out if your product does what they need, instead they see it in action. They get a nice comfortable voice walking them through the product. They see it going, solving the problem that they've got. And at the end of it, they know whether your solution solves their problem. And if it does, fabulous, they can get involved.
Now, I'm guessing that this type of approach is particularly good for people whose product is actually software. Would that be right?
Absolutely. If you've got a desktop software product on any platform, or if you've got a web application, then this is ideally suited for you. Of course, if you've got a real-world product, you've got a physical product that somebody uses in their hands, then you can't use screencasting. You're going to need to use a real-world video. And we see that advertised on telly all the time, so we know that technique works. But with software products, pretty much nobody is exploiting the technique of screencasting, except perhaps for Google and Apple. And I'm really pushing for everyone to get involved with screencasting and try it out. You can get started with paying no money at all, and the results really can be quite dramatic.
Now, how does somebody, perhaps who isn't that technical, Ian, make a screencast?
Right, now, a couple of years ago, you would have to download a piece of software to your machine, and there was software for Windows and for Mac machines. You'd install it and you'd run it, and it would capture the entire screen and the audio feed coming in from a microphone. So it's a bit like using an editing piece of software on your PC. You have to have some savvy using video editing software. Mm. It would record all your screen. You would have scripted your presentation beforehand, so you're going to run through your presentation, showing your user, just like having a demo with a friend sitting next to you, showing them what's going on, clicking around, and at the end of it, you get a nice video which you can put onto the web. Now, in the last 6 months, there's been some interesting developments. Three companies are now offering free web-based softwares. One of them is Jing by TechSmith, another one is Screen Toaster, and the third one is Screen Castle. Each of these, they're free services. You go to the website, you say start recording, it downloads a small applet, and it just starts recording your desktop and the audio feed from your microphone. So you can get started with no money at all.
Now, I've heard of Screen Toaster. Do they all work in pretty much the same way? So basically you download a small sort of client that runs on your machine, and then it sort of uploads it to the mothership, as it were?
Absolutely. So from what I remember, with Jing you download an applet which you install in your machine, and then that runs locally. So every time you use a new machine, you have to install this bit of software. Screen Toaster and Screen Castle, they're using a Java applet inside the browser, so you just click record and it just downloads what it needs. You haven't got to install anything, and it just starts recording off the bat.
Okay, and do you get a chance to edit if you make a mistake, or do you have to sort of redo it from the beginning?
So that's the interesting thing showing the immaturity at the moment of the online recording software. With the online tools, you can't edit your video. You have to download what you've recorded and edit it offline. So on a Mac using iMovie perhaps, and on Windows using one of the many editing tools. Mm. But if you're using the desktop-based software like Camtasia on Windows and ScreenFlow on a Mac, they always come with an editor built in, so you can do all your editing there after you've recorded your video.
Brilliant. Now, do we have any... Let me just rephrase the question, because I know on your site, mm-hmm. on Procast, you're exposing some stats, aren't you, that show how effective having a screencast is?
Well, actually, what I'm intending to do is show these stats from ShowMeDo, because I'm a co-founder of that site. I've worked with clients and demonstrated some pretty interesting numbers. For one of the clients, we doubled his sign-up rate just by putting a video on the front page. Mm. And for another client, we decreased their support emails by 25% and basically freed up a guy's one day of a guy's time per week by making him not go through the same steps on a support query. So these are pretty good numbers, but because their stats are private, I can't expose those. And really, to fulfill my aims of education, I want to expose real Google Analytics data. Mm. And so I'm doing an experiment with ShowMeDo at the moment, where I'm using videos on the sales page to increase the conversion rate, and I'm recording the stats, and I'll be exposing those stats in their raw form on my blog, and then going through a number of A-B tests, trying out different videos, styles, presentations, different ways of including the video, all to demonstrate exactly the right ways to increase your conversion rates using screencasts.
Okay, brilliant. So where do people need to go to look at your blog, Ian?
So you need to come to my blog. That's blog.procasts.co.uk, and Procast is spelled P-R-O-C-A-S-T-S.
Now, have you got any tips for people that are just about to embark on doing some screencasts, and do's and don'ts, Ian?
Absolutely. So one of the first things you should do is think about who your audience is, first of all. So you want to isolate one group of people that you're presenting to, and then you want to craft a script up front. If you sit down and you just blather away for 10 minutes trying to come up with things on the fly, you're going to have lots of ums and ahs and gaps, mm. and the video is not going to be very well targeted. No one's really going to want to watch it. But if you know who you're presenting to, what you're teaching them, and you keep your script to 2 to 3 minutes, I always try and aim for 2 minutes, then you've got a really snappy, nice presentation. Mm. You'll get your message across, and 80% of the viewers then will just understand what you're trying to explain, and they'll move on straight away. And if you go and start with the online free software like Screen Toaster, then you can get up and running without paying any money, and you can just experiment for free.
Do things like Screen Toaster make it easy to embed the video on your site?
So with Screen Toaster, the video, you've got a download link, and they embed the video in their site, and I believe you can embed that video into your site. Certainly you can upload to YouTube, and you get some analytics out of that for free, mm. And then you just take the video and you embed it into your site. And alternatively, and I'm including this in my screencasting tutorial that I'm running on the blog at the moment, you can download the video, put it into your own site into some FTP space, and then using free JavaScript tools, embed that video, no adverts, no YouTube related video links, just your video in your site being played to your users.
Now, you touched on something really interesting there, because when I first started this conversation with you, I was thinking, oh crikey, yeah, this would be really good for people that perhaps have some software that they've developed, mm-hmm. or maybe they're a consultant and they want to show people how to do basic stuff. But you mentioned support, and I'd forgotten completely about support. I mean, you know, commonly asked questions, you know, a common, how do you do ABC, where ABC is a very commonly asked thing.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So one of my clients here in Brighton, they came to me and said that one of their guys was basically losing a day a week answering a query for users to their subscription service, how did they stop paying every month? And yeah. they would be a bit confused about the process. Commonly, they weren't terribly web-savvy users. They needed hand-holding, they wanted reassurance that they weren't going to get their credit card cancelled by going through the cancellation process. Mm. And so they kept on phoning up and sending in emails. And so I created a video, a very slow, well-paced video, 5 minutes long, going through all of the steps, lots of reassurance. Mm. And then overnight, this chap stopped receiving support requests and one day a week was freed up. And so that's a fantastic way just to stop spending your time and money repeating the same questions, yeah. answering them, and instead get on with developing your product.
So Ian, thanks so much for talking to us. Now, of course, your website for the Procasts is
procasts.co.uk.
And if anybody wants help, then obviously go and visit there. Ian, what are your plans for the next few weeks? I know you've got some requests, haven't you?
My big plan is to run a campaign to help everyone get a screencast into every website. I really want to see more people adopting the technique of screencasting. And so once I finish the 9-part tutorial, I've got a few episodes to publish in the next few weeks. Once that's finished, I'll be publishing a new series on the blog discussing how to get a screencast into your website, why you need it, and how it will increase your conversions and everything you need to do to get those screencasts in there.
Well, some great tips there. Ian Oswald of procast.co.uk, thank you very, very much indeed.
Thanks very much, Andy.
Well, that's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Now, we would really like to hear from you. So if you have any questions or comments, send them to info@ai-digital.com and feel free to send in MP3 files as well and we'll play them. If you're a subscriber, we'd like to thank you for your valuable time. If you haven't subscribed yet and you'd like this show delivered to your earbuds automatically, you can find Internet Marketing on iTunes. Just search under the Business and Marketing and Management categories. Or you can find us at feedburner@feeds.feedburner.com/academyim. We'd also encourage you to leave comments on iTunes. Well, this is Andy White signing off, wishing you the best until we see you next time on Internet Marketing.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.